Good morning, church family. All right, let's go, let's go. This is a very special time for Julie and I. We are celebrating this week our 18th anniversary. So when you see my wife, Julie, she's not in my class because she hears me enough. She's upstairs somewhere. But when you see her, give her a hug, give her a kiss, give her appreciation for putting up with me for 18 years. I can think of nothing more romantic than spending our anniversary with all of you guys. And also, this is a very special time because another big life event happened this week in our lives. 6 years ago, Julie and I, for our 12th anniversary, we missed Campus Ministry United. Now, we had a very good reason why we missed it. I got a beautiful room, a beautiful accommodation for my wife, Julie, and our family. It was just 2 miles from our house. It was quite expensive. I would only normally spend maybe 100-ish on a nice anniversary hotel room. I spent $2,000 on this room. Yeah, very nice accommodations. 2 miles from our house. The name of that place was North Florida Regional Hospital, where my wife gave birth to our second child, Adeline, who turns 6 this week. So happy birthday to Addie. This is also a very special time because it was at Campus Ministry United last year where Julie and I didn't have a church home. Now we have church family, all you all from the Crossings and from Tulsa and from different places that we all get together with every year. You all are a church family. But we didn't have a church family to call our own in Gainesville. We had left our old church last March of 2023. And we were in between churches, and we were thinking heavily about planting a church. And we normally come up here for 3 or 4 days, and we talk to Chris and Hannah Earp. I think y'all are in the audience somewhere. But Chris and Hannah, we normally come up and stay with them. We're like, hey, instead of 3 or 4 days, do you mind if we stay, say, 3 or 4 weeks? Because we wanted to train with the Crossings. We have known Robert and Carrie since the inception of the Crossings. We've known them since 2002, and I believe you guys started in 2004. And so it was really, really, really a crazy time in our life last year because we were in between, but we spent that time training up here. And we were so excited to not only hear about what y'all are doing, but to see those things in action. And so we started with our soft launch team in November, and we started with 23 people. And in 10 months, God has taken those 23 members of our soft launch team and turned it into 50 adults and 20 children within our church family. The best part is we've had 12 baptisms in the last 6 months, and God is doing some amazing things because we have at least Robert's from our church plant here. Say hello to Robert. He was one of our baptisms a few years ago in my old campus ministry, and now he's going to be working with our young adults. My wife asked who was going to be the children's minister. I looked at her. I'm like, you are going to be our children's minister. So we've been just piecing it together as we go along. But God has put so many people in our path, and it hasn't been by accident. It has been by God's leading and by all of us being intentional in sharing God's love with the community around us in Gainesville, Florida. And so we have at least 5 or 6 that are in Bible studies right now on the way of discipleship. We have so many more people that we've just met recently that are just coming, loving the church, and they're not even sure why they love it, but we know why they love it. And so we're excited to continue to reach out. Robert and Rita are going to come next month for our hard launch, and we're super excited about that. So he will not be here on August 18th, but they're in Florida with us as we hard launch the church together and get the word out to Gainesville that we have a church like the Crossings in Florida. We're super excited. We thank you all for your prayers. And we're going to tell you more about some of the things that's happening in our church family as we go through this lesson together. Purposeful engagement leads to redemptive relationships. I love Carrie's lesson just a moment ago because it is about relational discipleship. It always has been and always will be. Amen, church? It is about relational discipleship, and it's about intentional discipleship, intentionally sharing the Word of God with those around us, intentionally loving on them. My daughter, Mackenzie, since we started the new church, she used to play in the backyard all the time because we've got a trampoline back there. We've got all kinds of stuff in the backyard. There's nothing in the front yard except for plants, but now she's always in the front yard, and I said, Mackenzie, why are you and your sister always playing in the front yard? And she's like, Daddy, how can I play in the backyard? I've got to be in the front yard so that I can see people, so I can invite them to church. And so that's her mission. She recently took out some church cards. We've really just been spreading the church word of mouth and through relational discipleship, but not through any kind of advertising on social media or website yet. That will all start with our hard launch next month. But she took out a stack of church cards. We did make those so that we could hand people something. And so she'll go up to strangers out on the street, and she hands out, and she puts the cards, which are blank on the backside, out, and she'll go up to strangers and say, pick a card, any card. And so they'll be like, what am I picking? And they'll pick one, and she's like, congratulations, you just won an invitation to church. And so she's done that. We have had now 7 different neighbors come to visit our church. Our 88-year-old neighbor next door got baptized recently. And it's been all about intentional, purposeful engagement leading to those redemptive relationships. So let's talk about it a little bit more. Turn to the next slide, please. How to purposefully engage others for Christ. I have 4 points for you, and I can't take credit for these 4 points. I got these 4 points from an old Robert Cox lesson about 15, 16 years ago, and it's from a series called Who's Your One, and some of you may remember that series. But these are points that I've taken to heart and that I have run with. So I've added a little bit of my own scripture and certainly our own experiences in fulfilling these points. But these 4 points have always stuck with me, and I want them to stick with you this morning. First, we need to live consistently. When the apostles were having problems with the church, they had to get more people involved with the work of the church. And it says here in Acts chapter 6, verses 3-5, my friends, choose 7 men who are respected and wise and filled with God's Spirit. We will put them in charge of these things. We can spend our time now praying and preaching. This suggestion pleased everyone, and they began by choosing Stephen. Then they chose Philip. It's so important that we live consistently, that we're not about being well-liked, but being well-respected. Being well-respected by our audience of one, being well-respected by God because we're obedient to Him, and being well-respected by others because we live consistently to our convictions as disciples of Christ. Amen, church? It's so important that we live consistently, and when we live consistently, obedient to God's calling and purpose, and we're filled with God's Spirit, which we received that day at baptism, when we are being led by God's Spirit, nothing, absolutely nothing can stop us from being purposeful in making disciples and bringing more people to know Him. 2 specific benefits of living consistently. One is it allows God to use me. Plant the seed back in February, and you could start in January, February in Florida planting, because we don't get too cold there. In January, February, it might drop to like 40, 50 degrees. I know, don't hate me, but it doesn't really get that cold. So the girls got together a girls' garden. My girls, the neighbors next door that have been coming to the church plant with my girls, and a few other girls. I think there's 7 girls in total. There's like a girl gang that live on our street. I think it's 7 little girls and 1 little boy that's kind of oscillated. But these 7 girls always get together. And so they planted a girls' garden. And the neighbor across the street, who has also visited the church plant, Megan, she got our girls excited and involved about planting seeds, about not just planting, but watering those seeds, and also pruning the little plants as they've been growing. And 6 months later, those seeds have grown. Those seeds have blossomed. The girls have tomatoes. They've got all kinds of fruits. They've got all kinds of vegetables. They're reaping the harvest of what they planted. But it took planting the seed. And it's so important that we allow God to use us to remember our purpose in making disciples and to go out and to plant the seed, to let others and or ourselves water that seed, and to let God grow others. It also, another specific benefit of living consistently is it allows others to listen to me. It's not all about the church invitation first, although it is exciting to invite others to church. When Julie and I first arrived here, we went to Fazoli's because we don't have a Fazoli's in Florida. How many of y'all like Fazoli's? It's good because I'm all about the free breadsticks. If it's free, it's for me. So we're waiting for our food. They brought breadsticks while we had our food. They brought breadsticks, and afterwards they brought these hot, fresh breadsticks. It was amazing. But the lady that brought it to us said, hey, can you guys fill out the survey for me? Can you guys give not just a review for Fazoli's, but a review of me bringing you these breadsticks, of going out of my way to help serve you? I'm a single mom. I am living on this one paycheck right now. I'm not getting a whole lot of tips. And I'm like, you're supposed to tip at Fazoli's? I didn't know that. So she's like, yeah, people don't really leave tips. I'm like, okay, I guess we have to leave a tip. But also she just told us a little bit about how her life's been a train wreck recently, how she's trying to raise 2 or 3 kids on her own. And it was really, really, really cool because after she told her story, I said, so are you from this area? She goes, no, I moved from Gainesville, Florida recently. And I was like, oh my goodness. And she's only been up here for a few months. So we connected through talking about Gainesville. We were very purposeful in engaging it with her. Even though we got here about 15 minutes late on Thursday night, but there was a very good reason, because we spent an extra 15 minutes talking to her and inviting her to church service, which we're going to be here for on Sunday morning. And so she's supposed to come. Her name's Otita. She's from Ecuador, and she's super excited that we would stay, that we not only tipped her well, but that we took time to listen to her, to engage with her, and hopefully that will lead to a redemptive relationship here. But oftentimes it's not just about the invitation to worship or the invitation to a cell group. Oftentimes it's the invitation to get to know that person where they're at. I know I recently asked somebody to church, and they're like, nope, I don't want to go. And I'm like, and I go, why? And they're like, well, I wasn't raised in church. I really don't know a whole lot about it. I don't know about this God you serve, but would you like to barbecue? And I said, absolutely. I love barbecue. And so it was important for me to take him up on his offer, even though my neighbor didn't take me up on my offer, because it gives me an opportunity to get to know him, to come to his barbecue, which I'm supposed to do once we get back from Missouri, and to spend time getting to know him and get to know where he is physically, so that hopefully and prayerfully I can meet his needs spiritually and introduce him to Jesus, who has saved all of our lives. Amen, church. So be careful about the way you live and about what you teach. Keep on doing this, and you will not only save yourself, but the people who hear you. I want to tell you 2 quick stories about Panera Bread. Y'all have Panera Bread up here, right? And I think it used to be St. Louis Bread Company. I think that's actually how it started. So down in Florida, in Melbourne, Florida, to be exact, it wasn't my hometown, but we were on vacation. I was visiting my aunt in Melbourne, And my aunt said, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody I met one other time before. He's in the restaurant right now. It's the owner of Panera Bread. And I'm thinking, oh, it's the owner of this Panera Bread. So I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. Glad to get to know you. Talked a little bit. And I said, so you own Panera Bread, this one? And he goes, no, think a little bit bigger. And I go, oh, okay, you own the ones in this part of Florida, in the Melbourne area. He's like, think a little bigger. I was like, so you own all the ones in Florida. He goes, think a bit a little bit bigger. I'm like, you're the owner of the whole company? He goes, yep. I'm like, oh my goodness. So that changed the nature of the talk a little bit. And I was like, wow, I'm friend of the big guy. And just then a lady, a frail lady, was coming up to put her stuff up. And if you guys have been to St. Louis Bread Company or Panera Bread, you know they have real dishes with real silverware. So she was putting her stuff up, and just before she was about to put the tray up where she could set it down and then unload it, she dropped everything. It was a train wreck. It was a yard sale. There was stuff all over the place because she was holding way more than she should have been. And so immediately I turn around, and the owner that I was talking to went this way, and he was where the lady was, and he put his tie back. He was dressed really nicely, and he bent down, and he was picking up all the stuff. And some of the restaurant people, this one young man in particular, maybe 20 years old, ran over. He's like, no, 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 Mr. whatever his name was, I got this. And he's like, no, 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 just give me the rag. I got it. And as the owner, he cleaned up everything, put everything up. He's like, this is really no problem. He did it with a smile on his face and got back up and then continued our conversation. And I thought, how impressive to his employees. Do you think his employees would want to work harder for a boss man like that? Absolutely. Probably somebody they only see occasionally, but what an example to the rest of the company. And then I said, hey, I just got to ask you something. Are you a Christian? He goes, yes. And I go, I thought that might be the case, just with your attitude and with your actions. Living consistently makes such a huge difference. Next slide. It made a difference for the young lady that's pictured here. Her name's Jasmine. She came to family vacation with us. She also works at Panera Bread in Gainesville, close to our church plant. My dad, who's been pretty depressed since my mom passed away 2.5 years ago or so, he wanted more purpose. And since our church plant began, my father said, hey, I need to go do what your mom used to do, which is to go out and share the good news of Jesus, to go make disciples. So he goes, I'm going to pray for more purpose. My dad goes to Panera Bread every single morning. And he calls me. He's like, hey, Donnie, do you want to come with us? And I'm like, I can't go every single morning, Dad. I've got work to do. We're trying to get the church going. But I'll join you maybe once a week. So I join him when I can. But he met Jasmine behind me. And then we brought Jasmine to family vacation. And she's coming from a non-church background. But because my dad's meeting with her all the time, getting together, and her coming to church more and more, we finally had a Bible study. We went through the way of discipleship over the last 8 weeks, and last Monday she gave her life to Christ in baptism. It was because of my dad's purposeful engagement that led to this redemptive relationship for Jasmine. And Jasmine came to the Gainesville area, just like so many students do, with not knowing very many people, if anybody. We have so many opportunities in Columbia, in Wentzville. We have so many opportunities in Interbelt, in Collinsville, Illinois, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Texas and Alabama, and so many other places that I've talked and met some of you guys that are from all around the United States. We have so many opportunities for redemptive relationships, and we have to be purposeful and intentional in this. And when we follow the Holy Spirit's leading, it leads to stories like Jasmine. And she's so excited now, and she got up and shared her testimony at Cross Chat recently. It was such a beautiful thing. Next slide. Number two. Watch expectantly. I love sharing this particular story of redemption when I'm studying with somebody through the way of discipleship studies. From Acts chapter 8, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. So this guy was like a right-hand person of the queen. This guy is a treasurer. This guy is an important man. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. We know he's not a Christ follower yet. He went to Jerusalem from the capital of Ethiopia because he was curious. And you know how far he traveled? He traveled 1,100 miles. If you draw a line from the capital of Ethiopia to Jerusalem today, that's about 1,100 miles. By car, that might take a couple days. By chariot, how long does that take? A month and a half? I have no idea, but it takes a very long time, all because he was curious about what was going on in Jerusalem and the worship of Jesus Christ. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. We have opportunities because people are searching. People are looking, especially in this world today where things have become so polarized and the truth has become so blurred. People are looking for truth. And guess who has the truth? Say again? Jesus has the truth, and you're holding his words in your laps and on your phones. We have the truth, and we have the cure for what ails the world, and we have the opportunity to give it away each and every day. Jesus' socializing strategy, Matthew party. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5 and verses 27 through 32. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him immediately. Then Matthew gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Right after Matthew was called to follow Jesus, he did. And then he has a party in his home. And how are all these other tax collector friends of his there? Because he was intentional in inviting them to get to know the person that he just dropped everything for to follow. And so we need to have more Matthew parties in our life. We need to invite people to the place where we're gathering to worship and following Jesus. And so that could be here at the church building. It could be at a small group. It could be wherever you're at and gathering with other Christians. It could be in your home just studying the Bible together. But invite friends to get to know Jesus just like you know him. And watch expectantly for those opportunities, because those opportunities are put in front of us each and every day. Next slide. Yep, there you go. So we recently had our first church picnic. We did this arbitrarily in the middle of summer on a Sunday evening. We had all of our church members there that were in town on that particular weekend. I think there's about 50 or 60 of us. And then we had invited a few friends, but it was interesting because the few friends that came, a few of them have come to church, but there was a few people we met in the park. 9 of our guys were playing basketball. 9 of our college and high school students in specifically were playing basketball, and they needed one more person, and one more person was kind of off on the other side of the court dribbling by themselves, and they invited them in to play. And then they had a great time playing basketball. They were competitive, but they weren't too competitive, so people weren't getting angry at each other. And they had a really, really fun time. And the guy asked and said, hey, you know, there's something different about you guys. Are y'all a group or a group of friends, or y'all go to school together? And they're like, no, we all go to different schools. we're friends from our church family. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And then fortunately, one of our guys, Jalen, who's shooting and missing right there, Jalen, who looks like a very good basketball player, but he's not. Jalen is very proficient, though, and very good at inviting people to get to know Jesus. So Jalen talks to Gary and says, hey, you know, like, I'd like to talk to you more about what our church family does and how we get together and our cross chats and everything. So he invites Gary. Gary shows up for small group. Gary shows up for worship service 2 weeks ago. He shows up for worship service last week. We went through the Way of Discipleship study, or Jalen did, with him, with a couple friends. After worship service, I think that study started around 12 or 12:30. They didn't get finished till later that evening because, just like TC, he wanted to know more. He's like, can we do the next lesson? Can we do the next lesson? Can we do the next lesson? He's like, why can't I get baptized right now? And Jalen said, you can, man. And so we took Gary out. A few of us met at the pool, and Gary is now a brother in Christ. And that just happened this past Sunday night. It's all about purposeful engagement for Christ. Next slide. So the third point is how to purposely engage for Christ, how to win one more for Christ. Risk freely. I want you to think about all the things you risk freely on social media, all the things you put out there. What are some of the things that people put out there, that you put out there on social media without even thinking about it? I'm asking. What are some of the things you guys put out there? Pictures of family? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, plans that you have, things you're doing, especially during the summer, fun plans, going to concerts, going to ball games, vacation plans, absolutely posting. If you spend enough on a vacation, you're like, I am posting about that vacation. Everybody's going to see where we went because I spent a whole lot of money to go there. And what are some of the other things you post without thinking about it? What's that? Pets? Okay, I don't have any pets, so I don't really care. But yes, pets. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, pets, family. There's so many things we will post about because we're passionate about them, because it matters to us. Does Jesus Christ matter enough to you to post about him and for him to be on your lips all the time? Does the word of Christ dwell in you richly enough to want to share frequently? I was just talking to Coach in the back. We've been good friends well before he came here to the Crossings. We knew each other from Tampa Bay, Randy Kochman. And I'll tell you what, Randy is in love with Jesus passionately. Let me tell you what else. Randy posts every day, sometimes several times a day, about how much he loves Jesus. And he constantly posts about pictures with his brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Crossings. And he's constantly posting about opportunities he's had for redemptive relationships in Christ. And it's such a beautiful thing to see. We have these opportunities all the time. Next slide. How to purposefully engage for Christ. Actually, go back. I meant to read the scripture. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to that chariot, took that opportunity, didn't think about it, didn't ponder about it, didn't wonder if that was really God's plan to go talk to the eunuch. He knew that was God's plan to go talk to the eunuch, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. What an awesome opportunity Philip had to run up there and to go sit next to the eunuch and to explain and get to show him the way of discipleship right there. We don't always get those opportunities to study with somebody that asks us, they may not, I should say, invite us, but we have that opportunity to invite them and to give them that opportunity to get to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next slide. Now we go. This is Ryan Martin, one of our campus students from my former campus ministry, Gators for Christ. Nikki, she was out shopping one day at Publix, and Ryan, if you've ever been to Publix, they always ask you if they can help you to your car, and I guess she thought he was kind of cute, so he asked, or she let him take her cart to the car full of groceries, and somehow before that interaction ended, she got his number, and so I'm not sure kind of who was liking who from the get-go, but she was very determined because she knew he wasn't a Christ follower when she invited him to church, that she was going to bring him to Christ first before any dating ever happened. And so Ryan and her dated for a while. I got to do his baptism there at the start of our church plant. I got to do their wedding not too long after that. And now Ryan Martin is probably one of our most on-fire disciples, always taking that intentional time to bring others to Christ. He has invited like 10 different friends. He's invited a sister who we're in that study with right now. He is constantly inviting others since he himself has given his life to Christ. And it's all about that intentionality to do that. Fourth, next. Speak wisely. Speak wisely. You don't have to have all the answers. Guess what? Jesus Christ already has the answers. You just lead them to get to know him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. You have the opportunity to lead them to our Lord. You have the opportunity to lead others to our master, to the person, to God's son, to the only one that can save their lives. When I think about life saving, I think about my mom. My mom battled cancer from 2016 to 2021. And during those 6 years that she had cancer, I always thought cancer affected other people's lives, and I would always pray for other people at church who were dealing with cancer themselves or in their family. I never thought it would touch our family until it did. And so during that time that my mom had cancer and was battling cancer, she went into remission twice. We're hopeful, we were prayerful that it wouldn't come back. It did. And during that time, I just remember learning so much about the utero stage 4 cancer that she was battling, and trying to find different solutions, different experimental drugs, different anything that would might save my mom's life. And any lead that other people had, I would be all ears so that we could get my mom to the best hospitals and the best doctors. We took her to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. We took her to some of the best places, and they gave her everything they had, but it wasn't enough. Guess what? We have the cure for sin. We have the cure for what ails the world. In this crazy world around us, we have the truth of God's word. We have the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity to give that to people. If I said I was going to run out there right now and cut you, let's see, who do I know here? If I said I was going to cut you right now, come down there, take a knife out, and cut you open, would that be okay? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, that would be ridiculous. But if you had a tumorous cancer growing inside you, and I was a well-renowned surgeon, and a surgeon, a doctor for cancer, and I had done this surgery many times before and saved a lot of lives, then would you let me cut you? Okay, you had to think about it for a second, but yes. Right, put you to sleep first, sure. So yes, you would. There is a cancer that infects this world. It is sin, and we need to point people to the great physician. We need to point people to Jesus. Next slide. For Christ's love compels us, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, because we are convinced that one died for all, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Such a beautiful passage of scripture. Christ's love compels us because we know how he has saved our life, and we know that he can save others' lives. And we have that opportunity to speak about him each and every day. As we continue the story for the Ethiopian eunuch, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" Just like Gary a week ago. And Philip gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Let me ask you something. What do people look for when they're in Publix? I don't think that's the main grocery store you guys have up here. What's the main grocery store y'all have here? Walmart? Okay, I like Walmart too. Yeah, but if people are going into a grocery store, what are they looking for? Yes, groceries. They're looking for food. They're looking to, and don't go in there hungry because then you'll overbuy and it becomes a big mess. But they're looking for food. If people are going to Home Depot, what are they looking for? Wood. They're looking for what? Yeah. Looking for opportunities to fix something or to build something. They're looking specifically for home improvement. When somebody comes to CrossChat or somebody comes into this building for the first time, what are they looking for? They're looking for God. They're looking for family. They're looking for community in Christ. They're looking for Jesus. It should be a no-brainer that we instantaneously, that we intentionally get them into Bible study, that we get them into prayer, that we give them the opportunity to get to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last slide. This is Scotty Jameson in the orange shirt. Now, this is a pretty cool story. I was just at North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, where Anthony Walker's from, in that area, Murfreesboro. And so they are supporting church for the Sun Life Church, where we have our church plant. And there's a lady there on staff named Regina Collins, and I had no idea she was on staff until I got chatting with her, and I saw her in the hallway, and I was like, oh my goodness, you're here. And she's from St. Petersburg, where I grew up, at the Northwest Church of Christ. And so I got talking with Regina, and we were talking about people that we know in common that might be at our church plant, and she goes, does Scotty Jameson happen to be there? And she taught Scotty in second grade. She was Scotty's second grade teacher, and she liked Scotty so much. Well, she liked all the kids, but she especially had an affection for Scotty, and so she got to know Scotty. She got to know Scotty's family really well, invited Scotty's family to church, and Scott Sr., became a baptized believer because of Regina. So Scott Jr. in the orange shirt grew up in the church and grew up in Christ. And so fast forward in time, years later, they moved to Gainesville, Scott Jr., and then he brings his son, Scotty III, to school. We're talking. We get to talking because we had gotten to know them just a little bit as parents at our school. And what was really cool is they asked us what we were up to, because I told them I was no longer a minister at the old church. And I said, well, we're planting a church. And Scotty Jr. is like, hey, can we come? I'm like, absolutely, please come. And so they came about the same time we started the church in November with our soft launch team. And he came on. He wanted to be part of the soft launch team. And so he came on board. And then his son, who had really no interest in church whatsoever, Scotty the Third, and hadn't really been going, started coming. He started inviting friends. And then Scotty the Third, because of Scott Jr. pouring into him, because of church family pouring into him, because other middle school kids like my nephew Jack started pouring into him and had a Bible study with him, Scotty the Third just got baptized into Christ. And it's such a beautiful thing. And this young man, he poured out his heart, and here's him crying. He said, hey, my life's been all about baseball. It's been all about basketball. It's been all about football. He's playing all the sports. He's a little middle school stud athlete like my nephew. And so they become very good friends on the court and on the sports field, as well as at the church building. But he said, you know, now my purpose is different. Now my mission is different. Now I get to tell my other middle school friends about Christ. Now I get to make a difference in their lives. And I go, yes, you do. And so this is what happens when we have purposeful engagement for Christ. Others get to know him too. And it's such a beautiful and wonderful thing. And this is how the church in Florida is going to grow. This is how the church here is going to continue to grow. This is how the church worldwide is going to grow when each of us, each one of us, as Christ followers, disciples of Christ, have purposeful engagement, intentional engagement, and that brings up long redemptive relationships. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for the mission, for the purpose that you've given us as your followers, Father. Lord, help us to be engaged. Help us to be in the spiritual battle, Father. There's a war being waged for souls each and every day, Father. And Lord, when we follow your spirit, we know that things don't happen accidentally. Lord, we know things happen on purpose, for your purpose, and for your pleasure, Father, and for your glorification through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through making him Lord of our life, Father, through following him, we know we have the opportunity each and every day to bring one more to Christ, to go out and to be purposeful on campus, to be purposeful when school starts in another month and change, in our high schools, Father, in our middle schools, in our elementary schools, in our workplaces, Father, we have opportunities each and every day. It's not going to be people's goodness that saved them, Father. It's only through your Son and our Savior. It's only through Jesus that people come to redemptive relationships, Father, and come back to the fold, and that we know their names are written in heaven. Lord, help us to be purposeful in our mission, and Lord, help us to do that to the best of our ability every week of our lives, Father. Help us to know that it's not about our ability, but our availability to you. And Lord, help mold us and make us the people you want us to be as we watch what happened in the first century happen in the 21st century today, Father. And we know it's all by your power, by your might, by your mercy, and through your love, Father, that others will get to know you. And Lord, we are so thankful for the mission, for the purpose you've put us in, and that you've given each and every one of us, that we've been co-missioned, and that it is a co-mission, Father, that we get to do this with you, and Father, for bringing more souls to know you each and every day. It's your Son's holy and precious name we pray, and we all say together, amen. Thank you.